For anyone visiting and living in central Tokyo, come visit the Nakameguro Tap Room from Baird Brewery. Opened in 2008, Nakameguro Tap Room is the first Tokyo area tap room from Baird Brewery. Their kitchen specializes in New Haven style appeats, which I have told you is the best style of Neapolitan pizza. New Haven style places a high emphasis on high temperature baking, fresh seasonal toppings, and a crispy light crust. Combined with all the classic Japan-based Baird beers on tap, enjoy all vintage beer hall feels at Nakameguro Tap Room. There's even a sofa area and a large TV screen great for sporting events. Only a 2-minute walk from Nakameguro Station, the tap room is open daily until 10 p.m. For more information, visit bairdbeer.com.
When people say that, oh, social media, this and that, like demonizing it, I'm like, you're in control.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in social media if you don't want to. And you control what you post anyway. It's up to you. Yeah. It's up to you, like, more... Like, I know that instinctively, I guess, being human, your first response to something bad is like to run away or like to, you know, refuse it or reject it. And then you become bitter about it. But then you don't have, you can't change it, you know. I think it comes from like, because I'm from a third world country. So, you know, being the bottom kind of like helps you see the bigger picture from the bottom. You know what I mean? Let's say that foreigners living in Japan, they have all these rules. I was like, hey, we live in the country. It is what it is, you know? Like, I know, like, some people, maybe they come from a country where it's freedom and everything and that and stuff, and they're used to those kind of things. I think it's just, it takes, like, an extra effort where you just have to pay attention and then understand how things work in other countries because it's not your country.
Hello there. Welcome to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. This is my podcast about Japan, but it's not just your run-of-the-mill Cool Japan podcast. I want to explore a side of Japan besides the sushi and the sumo, anime, and video games. I'm here to extrapolate and meditate with the local people that your travel guide probably doesn't touch on. People that are hungry for making it, and people that have made it. This podcast is my talks with them. Heyo! Welcome back to the Made in Japan podcast. My name is Meljo Catalan, and I am your host on this lovely Japan journey. An adventure, a pilgrimage, one might say. But anyways, hey, how are you guys? If you're new to this channel, hello, konnichiwa. I am here to let you know that Made in Japan podcast is back. It's good to get back into this rhythm of this pod of mine. But for those of you who are new to this podcast, Made in Japan podcast is mostly a donation-based podcast to provide drinks and continue the production. Please feel free to visit my Ko-fi page. That's ko-fi.com/made-in-japan-podcast. And for this episode, what a treat. I think all of you guys will like my guest on today. She is a one Felicia Gunawan. Felicia is a Tokyo-based digital content creator. I first met Felicia during the onset of the pandemic through the platform Clubhouse when it was the hot rage those days. And she was probably one of the first friends that I liked chatting to in that platform. And then soon after, you know, when everything kind of just... everybody's going back to their quote-unquote normal lives. I haven't really chatted with Felicia until very recently. We've been internet friends, and then finally we were able to catch up in person in Tokyo. And yeah, I just think she is a badass, a very articulate badass, much more of a badass than I will ever be. And I think all of you guys are going to find her story very interesting, and I hope you guys will kick back and enjoy it. So yeah, without further ado, let's hear Felicia Gunawan, a content creator and an unapologetic motivator. And here we go.
I need to have coffee before I make Meljam because I'm not going to be in good mood. Like, uh-oh. You know what I mean? No, I mean, like, at least I need something, like, you know.
Well, I appreciate that you're very fired up to go and come meet me.
And I cut down alcohol.
Okay.
So I don't really drink that much.
That's fine.
Like, I need to, like, you know.
Good for you, actually.
Yeah.
I got to start that, actually.
Yeah, I just feel like getting older, and it's really hard to wake up in the morning.
Yeah.
When you drink.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a big, hangovers is not a cool thing.
Not a good thing.
But, you know, Felicia, you're looking really good.
Thank you.
Welcome, like, hello, like...
Thanks so much. Are you recording now already?
We've been recording the whole time.
Oh, shit.
But I was just wondering, I was thinking back to the days where, the early Clubhouse days.
Yeah.
When I first, quote-unquote, met you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, she's a chill girl, she's a cool girl.
Thanks.
And I think she's got her stuff going on, and I'm glad that you made it back to Japan.
I know, it's been a roller coaster.
I know.
The past six, like 7 months?
Mm-hmm.
Ever since I'm back, like 7 months, like back for good. I mean, I was here last summer. We didn't get to meet that time.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had to go back because I found a job and I had to go back for my visa.
Mm-hmm.
2 months I had to wait, and then now here I am.
I know.
But it's been like, you know.
But you walked in with confidence, and you came in with a coffee into a bar,
I was like, that's swagger
right there.
But it's just like I haven't had a coffee.
So that's my first question, though.
Okay.
I mean, it depends on the mood, but my first question is, what would be your entrance music?
You know what? You're the second person who asked me that.
And it doesn't have to be at an event, or just it could be to like your friend's house or hangout spot. But like the moment you walk into the door,
yeah,
what is that music that comes in and everyone just turns their heads, be like, "That's Alicia's here."
I had this conversation with my friend, and she's a film director. She knows Dixon too, our Clubhouse mutual friend, and we talked about this, and she was like, "You know the Ed Sheeran song, I See Fire."
Okay, yeah.
That's the song she said for you, for your entrance. Even though that it's not an upbeat song or something, but like I See Fire is your entrance song, Felicia. I was like, I like that. Sure, we'll go with that.
But what would you choose?
What would I choose? Damn, it's a really, really... Never thought about that.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's a tough first question.
It's a tough first question. You're wasting your listeners' time here.
No, I'm having fun.
Aww. You're having fun of like trying to make me, you know, you're making fun of like giving me a hard time.
Oh, okay.
Shit, what is?
I See Fire is a good one.
It's a good one. But I think I'm really associated with fire. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you like this kind of stuff, like astrologically.
Okay.
I'm also a fire sign.
Are you
I'm Sagittarius.
You're a Sagittarius.
I'm a sag bitch. Yep. Who's the other one?
There's many Sagittarius friends in my life, but the close friends, I know.
Yeah.
Those.
Yeah.
Okay. Gemini, but okay.
Oh, you're Gemini. Okay.
So my entrance music for you was
okay. I would like to hear that. I mean, to be honest with you,
the moment it's also visual too. The moment you walk in, the lights dim, and bam, like. The Knight Rider theme song comes on. You know Knight Rider? Didn't. It's like an old 80s TV drama, Knight Rider. It's like a fucking black car.
Okay.
With lasers, like the car talks.
Oh wow.
And I gotta show you the Knight Rider.
Yeah, you should definitely, because if you say it in the 80s, I wasn't even born yet.
Here you go, the Knight Rider.
Ah,
And it's with the car with the laser. It's a talking car, and then the main character is a police detective, hunts down criminals with his AI car. And the theme music. After this, go and check out the theme music to The Knight Rider.
I need to search on that.
Imagine. And yeah. The other reason I think about the Knight Rider theme song is because it's the palette, the color palette of the TV show is very low light, low brim. So whenever I think about Felicia, your Instagram photos,
yeah,
low light, dim, you're walking in with like a fucking red laser visor to the Knight Rider theme song.
And yeah, everyone's I could just be like,
wow, move over, Hasselhoff, here comes Felicia.
There's no one though, but okay. There was no one, but okay.
So that's what I thought.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I guess I See Fire is better.
No, I mean, because I know that song, right? I didn't know about this one. Still don't know.
Sorry.
I'm going to Google it.
Times like this in the on the podcast, it just shows my age, you know?
Wait, we're not that far off though.
We're not really yet.
Hang on, we're not.
What do you think?
I mean, I was born in 90.
I'm 81.
It's okay. It's like 9 years. Come on.
I'm an in-betweener between the Gen X and the millennials.
I'm also feeling like in-betweener too, to be honest. Being millennial, okay. You know? The era where the internet just came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then now Gen Z, obviously, they know internet ever since they were born, right? So I think I get to taste a bit of both worlds in a bit.
Yes, I think I would consider you in my decade because we were the kids that
depressing one.
The kids that went out.
We're the depressing, you know.
But you know, we after school we got to go out and play.
Yeah.
Didn't have video games.
Yeah.
But when Nintendo did come, we still went out and played. Came back home before dinner. Had dinner, played a little Mario Brothers, and then carry on with our lives.
I remember when I was a child, actually, we had like a yard behind our house, like a, you know, like grass, and then just like an empty yard, but like with obviously white plants and stuff, right? So it's like grasshoppers around, and I actually played by catching them. I catch them, I caught them with my hands, but like now, if you tell me to do that, it will I will not do it. I'm like,
Kung Fu Felicia, what?
Yeah, I'm like, I was just like, you know, because my uncle, he had a lot of birds.
Yeah.
So like the grasshopper is like basically to feed the birds.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle worked for our family before. Mm-hmm. And then he often like bring his birds with him and then he'll be like, you know, catching the grasshopper for the bird, basically.
Tell me about your growing up, your hometown area. Is it far, mostly far?
It's not that far from Jakarta. It's like 90 minutes by airplane. Ooh. And then we're close to Singapore and Malaysia. So we have direct flight actually to Malaysia and Singapore.
Wow.
And our weekend getaway is basically go to Singapore or Malaysia. Just for like, it's really cheap. The flight is really cheap, like Gosan.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so it's really cheap and it's a small city.
Okay, what's the name of the city?
Pekanbaru. I don't think you'll know, but it's close to, if you imagine the map now, you know where Indonesia is, right? Yes. At least you should know.
I hope so, or I'm going to be stripped from my Asian license.
Exactly. Exactly. You're Philippines.
Yeah,
so we're in the same Southeast Asia, yeah, right?
Yep.
And I mean, I was born in a middle class family, and I was of Chinese descent. Is that how you say
Chinese,
it?
Yep. Yep.
Chinese descent.
Descent. Yep.
Descent. And I can't speak Chinese though.
Interesting.
But we are basically our grandparents. I think my grandparents migrated to Indonesia back in the days, and then they had my parents. My parents were both born in Indonesia. I was obviously, of course, like born and raised in Indonesia. Mm. Chinese. I don't know why. It's maybe because my parents don't really speak the language. Yeah. My dad did speak a little bit, but my mom, we did speak dialect though.
Are both your parents of Chinese descent?
Yes,
too?
Okay, yes, okay. Yes, okay. Yes. So we're like 1% of the population of Indonesia, I think.
Your name Gunawan is very
Indonesian.
Indonesian though.
It's because I'm not sure though. I mean, I'm not the expert of this guy, so please don't hold me against anything. But there was time where Like, we had Chinese names. My grandparents, they have their name in Chinese. But I think at some point, we kind of like change it to Indonesia.
Okay.
Like, kind of like, well, because we're going to live here and stuff.
Okay.
Might as well kind of like, in a sense, like make it Indonesian friendly in that sense.
Okay.
Like, you know, Felicia is basically my first name. And there's a lot of like Indonesian people have like Western first names. And then kind of like Indonesian last name. So Gunawan is more like Indonesian.
Okay. Because I can also feel Gunawan can be also... I can feel that name in the Philippines as well, too.
Oh, yeah.
I can feel like, you know, someone coming from Indonesia.
I see.
You know, that descent. But what were your parents doing in...
What do you mean they were...
Like when you were growing up, what was their job?
Okay, so my... We were more like doing our own business.
Okay.
So my grandpa basically, to be honest with you, I don't know the details, but when my dad got married to my mom, he kind of like gave my dad like a, we call it like a capital to start your own business.
Right.
Kind of like amount of money that you start your own business. So
right.
They set up like a store and stuff. So I don't know if, I don't think there's like one word to describe about my parents' business, but
yeah.
It's more like we have a shop that we sell like technical supplies or like safety supplies. For example, if there's, if you want to build a high road,
yeah.
highway road,
yeah.
you will need obviously stuff, right? You will need a lot of materials and stuff like grinder machines, anything like that. So we supply that to them.
Wow.
Even the safety jacket of the staffs or the safety boots from the staffs,
for the construction things
we supply everything.
Machinery.
So that's basically my parents' business. And thanks to that, like they basically obviously, you know, send me and siblings to school and stuff. So yeah, that's what they do.
I would gather that education was very top priority in your family.
Not really, to be honest, because it is for my parents, or
okay.
at least for my dad.
Okay.
My dad is always like, as long as you have a university degree, you're fine. I don't care what you're learning, you just need to have a degree. And I actually kind of agree with him. I don't like studying. I hate
not
studying.
Surprised.
I was.
Surprised.
I mean, I'm not even offended. I'm not even feeling offended at all because I hate school.
Okay.
I hated school. I hated studying. I hated studying things that I don't
Did
like.
Did you actually go to school?
I actually have a degree, okay? So.
So you were you the girl that was like, you know, F this teacher?
Yeah.
I'm going to like doodle.
I was the top five from the bottom of my class. I'm not even ashamed of it.
Felicia Goodwin, top five from the bottom.
From the bottom.
That's like your LinkedIn profile.
Yes. I hate it math. I hate it to my guts.
At least now we have something in common. Now I can work with this.
Yeah.
Math was tough.
It's just like, I don't know, I think growing up, subconsciously, consciously, I kind of like know where I want to go, know what I want.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of lucky, like all the choices that I picked from that age, like teenage age to like now.
Yeah.
Either consciously or subconsciously, I chose the right one for me. Even though that I did not understand shit that time. So I was lucky, I think, in that way. So if I look back. And all those
are athletics, like did you do any sports?
No, I'm very
art?
Average.
Really?
I'm very average. I'm not even popular. I wasn't even
Get
popular.
Out of here.
No, I shit you not. I wasn't even popular. Like I was hanging out with like popular kids.
Yeah.
But I'm more like, you know, the how, what do you say, like when you're cheerleading, you're the cheerleader captain and you're in the
You're the
sitting on a bench. What did I say?
The bench warmer.
The bench warmer, I guess. That was me. That was me.
But you're still on the team, though. You were still on the cheerleading squad.
You know, like, when back in those teenage days, you have, like, gangs, right? Oh, you're this
the
group.
The cliques, yeah.
Yeah, you're the popular one. Oh, you know.
Did you feel pressure to be part of a clique?
No.
Good, okay.
I'm more like, this is what I said, like, subconsciously and consciously. Mm-hmm. Like, I just found myself in the right place all the time. And then even though that sometimes I feel like, oh... Why wasn't I popular? Of course, like I asked myself something like that. Like all my friends, they got like award of this. You know, like how school they will have like, I don't know, the most this or the most that kind of like award thing.
What did I have? I had best legs.
Let me see. Oh, yeah, sure. Why not?
I was like, okay, that's random.
Yeah.
But that was the only award I got.
Yeah, I don't remember, but it's just like, you know, like all those. And my school, actually, because it's like a small city, it's not like the schools in Jakarta, to be honest. Okay. We don't have pool. We didn't have a pool. We didn't. Even now, I don't think we have pools in my old school.
Okay.
Don't even have aircon. Don't know about it now. But it's really just like, you know, Southeast Asia. You've been to the Philippines.
Yeah. I left the Philippines when I was 6 years old, so I went to preschool, kindergarten in the Philippines. So I'm just imagining that kindergarten school is maybe similar to.
It's basically like this, but no like aircon.
No aircon, open air.
Open air kind of thing, and then you just like have a fan, basically. Yeah. Like the fan was like, you know, that one.
Were you, at that time, were you like, okay, I want to move to Jakarta and like go to this, like the big city?
So what happened was, I'll tell you how I end up in Japan. I think it all started, this is something that I also preach still in my Instagram. Yeah. Like when people come to me saying that, asking me, I don't know what I want to do. Or like, it irks me now when people in the 20s, I don't have time. I'm gonna be 30 soon, what am I gonna do? You know, I was like, no, you have a lot of time. Mm. But like, I was like them like that too when I was in my 20s. We all were, right? Mm. But like, it all started with like, I even asked them, okay, what do you like, you know? Mm. What is it that you like? Even though like the smallest thing that people think is ridiculous. Mm. For me, in my case, I was a big fan of this J-pop boy band, Cole Winds. I don't know if anyone knows. But there's a three guys boy band group called Wins back in the days. Mm-hmm. I was 13, 2003.
This is the early 2000s. Is it a Johnny's band?
Not Johnny's. Oh. They're a competitor of Johnny's.
Oh, okay. So, do they play instruments?
No, they dance.
Okay.
They're boy band. So like band, I think like play instruments, but like boy band is like more Johnny's basically.
But there have been Johnny's groups that played instruments.
Yeah, there have been, yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, I'm trying to remember Wins, but anyways.
But anyway, they're like, you know Cartoon?
Yeah.
Or News?
Yeah, yeah.
They're like the same generation.
Oh, okay.
So, it was back in 2003, I was in the living room. I think, I don't remember, maybe just got back from school or anything. And my dad used to watch Taiwanese TV channel.
Okay.
And that group was apparently popular in Taiwan. So, their song came up. Mm-hmm. And I was like looking at the TV because it's such an upbeat, like a catchy song, right? Mm. And that's when I started to like, okay. I just started to become a fan. And then the internet that time was just, it was still the one that you have to put in the LAN cable and then you have to connect your telephone. And then, you know, you make that sound like
dial.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, man, that takes me back. I was just talking to my family about that.
Yeah.
About the floppy disks. You have to put in the floppy disk.
USB as well. Everything. Well, USB, no, too.
Yeah.
You can use them, but yeah.
And you, like, some people, not naming names, some people would steal their neighbor's AOL free online internet and then try to.
Oh, wow.
You know, use it for, you know, the first, I don't know, day for free or whatever.
Yeah. that's the time. And then I became a fan of them. And then I start to, you know, obviously, where they're from, or they're from Japan, and that's where it started. It all started with just like my obsessions of these three boys.
Was the language something interesting
exactly.
for you?
Exactly, that's what I was like, I want to know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So it influenced me to learn the language.
Yeah.
And I told you in the beginning of this podcast, I don't like studying. I hate studying.
We're barely less than 20 minutes in, and you're in the beginning of this podcast.
Was that? It's the beginning, I guess.
It's gonna be a long one. It's gonna be a 7-series episode.
Oh, shit.
Oh, just Felicia.
Oh, just me.
The legacy. The woman.
Anyway. the Knight Rider woman.
There you go.
Where was
I? We're here. We got time.
Yeah,
we
where got, was I?
So you were interested with the boy band
Wins. Yes, the boy band.
Yeah.
And then I hated studying, right?
Yeah.
And my dad is always the type of like, I don't care what you study, you just have to have a degree. Fine, I'll take Japanese language as my, you know, university degree. Who cares, you know? And then that's when I know, like, when you're not interested in something, it really takes a lot of you to work on it. Whereas when I start, so I went on to the university, start learning Japanese from zero. It didn't even feel like studying to me. It didn't even feel anything. I got straight A's. I got C in my Indonesian.
What? Your own Indonesian?
My Japanese is A. My English is A. My Indonesian is C. I think because of native, you know? When you're a native and then you got like a full text of
what
like...
But I feel like, yeah. I don't know, this is what I'm feeling right now. I'm vibing from the vibes that you're giving me is that I think you have a knack. You have that talent of just picking up languages.
Yeah, I do, actually.
I think you do.
Yeah. I do pick up accent, too.
A linguophile,
I do pick up accent, too. So depending on who I hang out with, my accent would change.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I just use British words with my American accent.
Well, me too. Because I'm not native and I never live in an English-speaking country. Okay. All of my... English is basically just like picking up things.
Well, for me, it's just like friends in Japan, or co-workers that are from the UK or Australia just talk to me a lot more.
Yeah.
You know? So, but okay, so you study Japanese, straight A's in Japanese, and
I even got a scholarship for the first semester. Damn. Even my family got surprised. So, see, that's the thing. I mean, like, I was top five from the bottom in my school. But then here I am thripping in, you know, university, so...
Dad's like, she's actually going somewhere.
But it's not like I'm yutose or like anything, you know. I'm not like, you know, student of honor or something like that. Yeah. It never been really my goal.
Yeah.
Again, consciously, subconsciously, I just like pick things that feel right for me and then I end up in the right place, that's all.
That's great. So, now you're like, all right, got it, I'm studying Japanese.
Yeah.
So what would... Tell me the time frame. When was your first visit to Japan?
It's getting interesting now. See, 20 minutes, right? Dang, how many minutes already? Anyway, so long story short, let me get this.
This is part one, right? Part one of seven.
Part one.
We might as just do every day. 30 days with Felicia.
It's your podcast, man. I'll let you handle it.
30 days with Felicia.
It's your podcast, so.
It might have to be a paid subscription.
Oh, shit. Sure. Just get me commission.
I don't know about that. Just free Omnibus coffee. How about that?
Sure, sure. Yeah. I don't mind any coffee or anything. Even Family Mart's coffee, I'm happy. Okay. It's actually quite good.
It is. Actually, I prefer the 7-Eleven coffee.
Family Mart one, the dark roast one is good. Latte is shit though.
I don't do lattes. Yeah. I just do black coffee. Yeah.
Like lattes are so milky, that's all. You don't taste the coffee. But like the black one, I drink black in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Family Mart, dark roast, the best.
It's the best. Okay.
Yeah.
I gotta try. I like 7-Eleven a lot.
Yeah, I mean I do too, but like to be honest with you, as long as it's strong coffee, I don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go.
So first time I came to Japan, it was 2011. That was through an exchange program with my university. They had this kind of like exchange thing where they collaborate with a local Japanese language school, that time in Kyoto.
Oh, okay.
And I basically take the same classes, just different campus, something like that. So I take my classes in Japan that transfer my grade to Indonesia.
Okay, so
The plus thing, I mean, obviously you pay more money, and the plus thing is you get to be in Japan studying for a year, like an exchange.
Okay.
But they transfer my grades, so it's not like delaying my graduation, something like that. So that's the first time I came to Japan, 2011, right after the Daishinsai.
Wow, okay. Higashi Daishinsai.
Yeah, something like that. Daishinsai, I'm sorry. But yeah. March 2011, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
You were very lucky you didn't experience it.
Yeah, I know. And it was about to... It actually got postponed because I was supposed to fly in March.
Yep.
But, like, that happened, right? So it got delayed until May. But I finally came because they were like, well, it is very sad. And a lot of, obviously, you know, in that area... people lose their homes and stuff, but like Kyoto was safe that time, so they were like, student can still come if you want to. Even though that a lot of like foreigners like flew back, right?
Right.
And I just decided, okay, sure, let's go. And then that's the first time I was in Japan. And then I was there for like a year, and because I need to finish my university, I had to go back and did some kind of like dissertation thesis. Okay. It was my last year in college. But like through the exchange program, I met a guy who is American.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry right
now.
Apologies.
We met. It's okay. It's the trash anyway. If you're listening to this, don't just, I will not, yeah. You're not in my life anymore, so. Anyway.
I'm sorry, too, that One Direction is, like, playing while you're talking about this.
It's okay. I like One Direction.
Okay.
I like One Direction. Nothing against them.
Okay. But,
like,
anyways, it was
a long time ago. But, like, that was, like, the tipping point for me.
Yeah.
We started dating, and then I had to go back to Indonesia, right?
Yeah.
We did a long distance. I need to finish my study. And then when I graduated, just like any other 22 years old, what am I going to do with my life?
Yeah.
You know, like, even though that they said, like, 22, like, or adult age is, like, 18 for Indonesian,
mm-hmm.
or 20 or 21 in, like, America or, like, in Japan, right? So 22, technically, I'm an adult, but, like, I don't know what I want to do in life, you know? I don't want to be a translator because basically that's what the path for people who learn language
sure.
to be, basically. And I'm like,
I can't imagine you being a translator because
exactly.
it's such a passive, like,
exactly.
Profession.
Yeah, and I don't have any patience at all. Yeah. Not let alone teaching kids or, like, people.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have the patience for it. So I'm like, okay, I don't know what I want to do, but, like, I have a boyfriend in Japan, and then my sister was also there that time in Kyoto. She was in the same exchange program as me.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I was like, I'm going to go and visit my sister and my boyfriend then.
Okay.
And then I book a flight. I was supposed to fly in April. April 2013?
Yeah.
Yeah. A week before my flight, he said he wanted to break up.
That's harsh.
It's harsh. And then, let me give you a little bit of spice about that. It's going to get really, really deep, really, really fast.
Part 1 of 7, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, well, you want this now, though. You wanted this. Okay.
Did I really?
So my grandma was dying that time.
Okay.
She was in the hospital. Yeah. She was dying. But, like, he picked the worst time ever to say that. A week before my flight, and then my grandma was dying. I was in a position where I feel, okay, I should maybe postpone my flight, right? But because he said that, being a dumb bitch I was, I just told my mom. I went to my mom saying that, Mom, I'm sorry, I need to go to Japan no matter what. So I left my family. I left my mom. I left my grandma, who was dying in the hospital. And I flew to Japan. We, of course, obviously didn't end up getting back together.
Yeah.
And my grandma ended up passing away while I was in Japan. But at that time, I feel like, okay, now I'm here. Nothing I can do. And at some point, I mean, part of my heart still, like, wanting him to come back to me. So I feel like if I live in Japan again, he might want to. How can I do that? And that's when I start looking for a job. And that's when I got a job. And then, again, if you ask me, do I have any regret or not? That is probably my only regret. But at the same time, I cannot say if that's my regret. Because if I didn't do that, I would not have the years that I have in Japan.
Right.
I would not be here on your podcast.
Wow.
Basically.
I feel very, very grateful.
Exactly. So I'm like, okay. I mean, it ate me alive for all those years about this. Because, I left my mom. Obviously, I didn't see my grandma for the last time.
Yeah.
And, but then again, if I didn't have that, the tipping point of my life, like getting a job in Japan, I will not have the best 20s in my life in Japan, you know?
I don't know. I mean, that's what your heart was feeling at that time.
Yeah.
I don't know your grandma. I don't know your grandma, but I could, my guess is that she was definitely with you in spirit, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, Felicia wants to move on with life. I think that's the thing. But hey, like what we just said, you know, the opportunities, there is balance, there is karma in everything. I believe in that too. I believe in karma a lot, actually.
Yeah.
You know.
Me too. And then obviously, you know, being, you know, my mom's child and then my grandma's grandchild, obviously I feel guilty, right? Another level of, like, expectations and everything. It's a separate story, but, like,
that's part 3.
Sure. A season 2. Not even episode, season 2.
Oh shit, we already signed on for a second season? Wow.
Yeah, I'm like, well. But anyway, I mean, like, again, like you said, right? Yeah. I mean, I didn't have a close enough relationship with my grandma, to be honest. Mm. But hey, I've got tattoos of her name. This is her name.
Oh, okay.
This is my grandpa.
Grandpa,
so
okay.
So they're the couple. They're from my mom's side.
Really okay.
Yeah, so... Because they both passed away when I was in Japan.
Yeah.
But anyway, like... I went to my mom because I think I needed that forgiveness, or like I needed to be liberated by that feeling.
Got it.
Even though that I know my mom is fine, she understood it. She understand why I am the way I am. But I needed to talk to her about it. So I just went to her saying that, how do you feel? Asking her, how did you feel that time when I left you? And then, you know, in my mind, I'm like, ugh. You know, like, oh God, like I was in the best of tears and stuff. What is she going to say? But she just say something like this, it's not in the past. And I was like, Mom, it's not in the past. That's all. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. You know, I mean, like, she's gone now. I mean, she's not in pain. And I'm like, but I think even though that we didn't have that conversation, I was saying, I'm sorry I left you. Or like my mom saying that I forgave you. It kind of like liberated me. So I'm actually now fine because I didn't say this story is like crying, because I was crying when I tell this story.
Right. I think that's enough for your mom though. I think it's the Asianness of us, you know, like something, you know, and getting that acceptance. That's a hard thing to do.
It's a hard thing.
It's really hard from your parent, from an Asian parent, you know, coming down. So, but anyways, I think they are very supportive of you because they, you know, they let you go to Japan and like, you know.
They let me go without, they didn't let me go without a fight though.
Okay.
There's a whole lot of like, a whole different story.
Okay.
Like, but again, you know, being a Asian parents, they are, especially my dad. I mean, I'm the eldest. Obviously, they expect more of me.
Uh-huh.
They expect me to, even now, I'm sure, even in their little heart, they still expect me to continue the family's business. And I tried.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I left Japan 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then that time I was working for a travel agency.
Yeah.
And things didn't go well. I mean, I did not like the environment of my company.
This was in Kyoto?
This was in Kyoto.
Kyoto, okay.
So I did not like my environment anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't see where my career is going. I'm worried about my dad, worried about my mom and stuff. They're not gonna live forever, right? So all of those mixing together, I just feel like, okay, let me just go back home and see how it goes. Because I feel like if I stay in Japan, I would have hated it so much. I needed to get out from there
reset,
and then see it from outside world, basically.
Exactly.
So that's what I did 4 years ago. And then, I just said, okay, let me just try and see if I can imagine myself living in Indonesia, continuing the business. At least I can say I tried.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I did. And it's not for me.
Right.
It really is not for me. But I think God or universe or whatever religion you are in, like someone or something out there, I think kind of like maybe helped me in a way, because COVID hit. When COVID hit, obviously travel are all just like...
Stand still.
Stop. Exactly.
Yeah.
Stopped. And then it kind of like good for me, I think, in that timing to leave.
Mm.
And because I was sick of Japan, I did the first job that I did after I was back was nothing to do with Japan.
I mean, can you tell me like any specifically what was something that made you sick? Was it like a work thing?
Or? It's more like work. And then at the same time, I think it's also kind of like my mentality.
Okay.
Or mindset thing, because I mean, sure, you know, as a foreigner living in Japan, you know how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
I know how it feels,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, it's not bad at all if
mm-hmm.
you can see, if you can focus on like the good things.
Sure.
It really depends, of course, on your priorities and then what's your goal of living
mm-hmm.
here, right? But like for me at that time, I think I wasn't mature enough to think about what is it that I want?
Really?
What is it?
Yeah.
I don't have enough self-awareness in that sense, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't see beyond those, you know, nayami or depression that
sure,
I have.
Sure.
So I feel kind of like stuck.
Yeah.
And at the same time, pressure from my family also came in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not only my parents, but also my aunts and stuff. They will, like, call me sometimes saying that your dad is getting old. Why don't you come home? Do this. So it's kind of like they make me feel guilty in that sense. They
just
use that
guilt. That.
Exactly. I'm like, and then... And
for me, it's like, it's like my mom back in the, this is back in the day, like, yeah, when I was in 20s, like, did you go to church today?
Mm.
Like,
yeah, because Philippines is like Catholic, right? Yeah.
Like, no. She gave up later on, but you know, but I get it. It's like,
yeah,
it, it's all that, it's very passive aggressive.
Yeah.
They
didn't mean anything bad, I guess, my aunts and stuff, because they care about my brother, their brother, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it kind of like give me guilt and guilt and guilt, you know? Whereas my sister, she's more like a my pace person, so she doesn't really, it doesn't really bother her. But for me, I think because I have the soft side of that.
I gotta time out you for a second, Felicia.
Sorry.
I love how you interject casually Japanese English into your speech.
Did I? I did not realize that.
She's kind of like a my pace.
Oh yeah, my pace. My pace.
I thought it was really cute and funny at the same time.
Wait, but is it? It is. What's the word for English then?
She's you know, she's very free-willed. Takes her time. Carefree. There you
or
go.
The.
But I always like my. Okay, no, sorry.
Oh, the current internet word. This time is like Delulu. Meaning like you're delusional or something. No, she's not delusional, sorry. I mean, my sister, if you're listening to this,
please,
that's not what I'm...
I just love how you just interjected Japanese English, right?
Yeah.
That was, like, that was awesome. Very smooth.
Yeah, I was like...
I commend you.
She's very free will and stuff, so... Yeah. And she's only 3 years younger than me.
Okay.
But anyway, like, it's really... Everything, like... So I can't really... answer to your questions about what specifically about Japan that I hate. It's more like, I think at the end of the day, it always comes back to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in these situations, how will you see it?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to use this disadvantage to your advantage, kind of thing? But I wasn't that mature at that time. But I think I made the right decision as well to go home, because I always worry about my dad, right? I always worry about things, what could happen to him. He was an alcoholic. He would drink every day.
Wow.
He would drink beer like 7-8 cans every day, nonstop. And then because beer make you feel full, you don't eat, right? So he doesn't have enough nutrition in his body too.
Oh.
So I think it's kind of like superstitionally, kind of like trying to get me back to home in a bit. And things did happen. So a year after I'm back, he actually fell down the stairs. He broke his bone.
Ooh.
And then now he's in a wheelchair.
Ooh.
So, but like, because the way he took care of his body is really bad. Obviously, like drinking and everything. So he doesn't have like strong bones.
Okay.
So even if he just like tripped, he actually broke like really big bones, like on his shoulder and then on his thigh.
Oh,
it's not even like, you know, like finger obviously is like so softer than your bones on your shoulder or your thighs, right? He broke those parts. That's when you know it's not good, right? And that's what we found out and everything. And I mean, he could obviously maybe walk again, but he's just, yeah, you know, he's old Chinese man. He will never, I mean, I already accepted the fact that I will never change him.
Yeah,
unless he wants to.
Mm.
But it took my whole 20s and then a therapy to help me realize and then make peace with it. Saying that I will never be able to change my dad and it's not my fault and he is unhappy.
Yeah.
Because my whole, you know, 20s of like being guilty, being depressed and everything, to realize that and to accept the fact that he will never change.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And I can live my life.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
So, and I finally, remember when you invited me to come to the podcast and stuff?
Yeah.
That time I was still trying to organize my thoughts. That's what I told you. I don't think I'm going to say something good in your podcast right now. Because I'm still trying to kind of like structure the way I think. At least like finally grasping how I can handle things.
Sure. No, I understand that. Because I would never... The idea of this podcast is to have you, you know, enjoy yourself and then talk about how you like and don't like about Japan, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I would never pressure any guest to come on here and be like, who knows?
Yeah,
What should I do? What do I do? I'm not that great.
Yeah, I know that you're not doing that, but it's just like in myself. I mean, like, I just need to maybe organize things so that I can definitely probably provide
totally fair
them
enough.
Something.
And you know what? I'm actually, I was surprised that you were able to come on again, you know?
I know. So. Because I just like, I mean, it's been in the back of my head.
Oh, really?
Okay. I know. Because I promised you that I would come. So I'm like...
For the listeners, let's recap this. So, like, you know, we met through the clubhouse and then, you know, basically died. And then you came to Japan.
Yes, last summer.
Last summer, you got the job. But, you know, you can talk about your job if you want. But, like, you came here with this, you know, motivation. Like, I want to live in Japan, right? I want to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And... right now, well, based on your Instagram, I see a lot of your followers, I guess fans, right? A lot of your fans really appreciate what you do on your Instagram because you do a lot of kind of like daily motivational, daily or weekly motivational?
Daily, I try to do daily, but that's also me motivating myself.
There you go.
What I post on my Instagram is basically how I feel that time, most of the time, so... Mm-hmm. I needed to hear those words myself, so I just put it out there. It's like an outlet for me.
But I can imagine there's people, there's reasons why people want to follow you and then hear that and or read it or see what you're posting.
I appreciate that a lot. Yeah.
And then I think that's something very positive and something that should be, you know, I think it should continue to grow because there's a lot of... content outside of social media that's just kind of not really...
It's oversaturated now.
It's like...
Very much.
Really, like, do I really want to know the top 10 best... I don't know. top 10 best places in Tokyo. Like, do I really need to know this now?
Yeah, no, not really. It's just, you know, my... So, part of how I can finally manage to... how do I say this? Organize myself or like be more content with myself. I think it's because I have, gratefully, I have a platform. Well, thankfully, people enjoy watching and seeing and looking. Well, it's like, it's actually my outlet.
You started this?
During COVID.
Was it exactly during COVID? Like 2020?
2020.
Wow,
so
okay.
Again, I start to feel like, okay, maybe I should do this seriously. I thought about that February 2020. That was before COVID.
Yeah.
And then,
I thought you'd been doing it for a longer time, actually.
No. And then I was still working that time for the PR agency back in Jakarta.
Yeah.
And then I was in Japan, actually, February 2020 for work.
Oh.
For one of my clients.
Okay,
so
okay.
I came here, and then I was, like, filming what I'm doing and then talking to... I never know I had this with myself, and I actually just can talk to the camera without any feel of, you know, embarrassment and something like that.
Yeah, okay.
But it's just like, I don't know why. I mean, like, I thought to myself, hey, I actually enjoy this. Even though that time I only had, like, what, 700 followers? And they were all my friends. They were all just, like, my private things.
Mm.
And, I enjoy this. I realized that. And then COVID hit. I think it started to get worse, like May 2020, like worse.
Mm-hmm.
And then I lost my job in June 2020. They laid me off because of COVID.
Okay.
Like, we didn't have any money. They pull out, my clients were all Japanese.
Yeah.
So they pull out of Indonesia, obviously. And then I didn't have any project to work on. They laid me off. And I'm like, I'm in a position where I have so much time in my hands.
Yeah.
What can I do, you know? Mm. You know, like, there's... During those times on TikTok or, like, on Instagram, there's, like, this thing where they make videos, like, all my friends, all my classmates, after COVID, they suddenly become a chef, professional chef. Because they're all, like, trying to, you know, spend productive time being locked down in your house. So I'm like, I should do something, you know? Like... And then
everyone was making cooking videos.
Yeah, everyone making cooking videos or like stuff. You know those videos. So I was like, you know what? That's actually true. You know, I have so much time in my hands, and what can I do? And then it just reminded me of like, oh, maybe I should do social media because I always like take pictures anyway. I like aesthetic stuff, as you can see in my Instagram. So I just do it. I just started doing it. And I was on Clubhouse because I feel like I need to focus on things that I can do instead of things that I can't control. Okay. I mean, you can't control of like, we can't get out of the country.
Right.
You can't control the virus. You can't control everything, right? You can only control what you do with your time. And I started doing the Instagram 2020. I hit 10,000 followers the same year in October 2020. And then it's kind of like stagnant and stuff. It's just like, this is the thing that I do with my social media. I only post things that I like. I only post things that relate to me.
Sure.
I mean, even though that's something trending, I don't feel like I need to do the trending videos too, or like the viral thing, you know, all the trends. Unless I relate to them, I'll do it, you know? But like, I really want to just post what I like, what relates to me.
Yeah.
What I feel. And then if people, you know, if people also think the same or like they like the same thing as me, great, you know. And even if they don't, great as well, you know.
Well, I mean, I think honesty goes a long way.
Yeah, in the long
sincerity,
term. Sustainable.
People
too.
Spot. Thanks, Michi.
これを隠しますので.
She's so worried about it.
I just needed coffee before I came here. Before I kill Meljo without coffee. Oh shit, can I?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, I know it's Wait. Not. Don't do this, listeners.
Anyways, yeah. Well, that's where the swagger comes in, though. But like,
yeah.
So, but you're here, and I rethink. You know, I personally, I don't get to. I'm not really on Instagram so much these days. Not much, but
yeah, I never when see you around. Actually,
I don't. I'm busy after.
I want to see your dog instead of you, though.
Yeah.
Where is he?
Gone. Disappeared.
Oh, are you serious?
No.
Oh shit.
No.
Don't do that to me. I'm a dog person.
I know,
I'll be really sad.
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
But anyways, what I like about your Instagram is that you don't preach.
I don't.
You
Who
just
am I?
You just like says like your random thought of today and then you're well read. I think you like to read lots of books.
Yes, I do. I
and,
do.
And then thank you, Mish. But so I find that what you're doing is just this honesty and sincerity. And I don't know who your followers are, but like maybe it's a younger generation, maybe it's the same generation, I don't know.
It's kind
older,
of
older, I don't know.
To be honest with you, I never check the age anymore nowadays. But I think I get I get some from young until actually 60.
60s,
too.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. And I think what you're doing, there's definitely going to be people that are interested in that type of content and are want to because they need it.
Yeah, I need it too.
But I don't think it's therapy though. I think it's just kind of like scrolling through some noise and then you see Felicia's thing about what do you think about. Be special for yourself, or be yourself is important. You know, it's not preachy at all. It's not even anything. It's just kind of like, oh, this is what Felicia did this week.
Yeah, this is what I did this week.
How many
guys.
Cups of coffee was it? Let me count.
Yeah, I mean, like, because also like content creating can be stressful, right? I mean,
yeah, it's a lot of work. I know.
It's a lot of work, and I respect those people, my friends.
Yeah.
They wake up in the morning 5 a.m. get dressed.
It's amazing.
Do their hair and then everything and then chase every summer festival all over Japan. I respect that.
I
respect
amazing.
That. It's dedication, but Felicia cannot do that. No, it's just like I mean I would go. I mean let's say that oh I want to travel. Let's say this summer holiday to where? Oh maybe to Akita and let's say what's in Akita that time. It's more like I don't want to plan things ahead or I don't want to have kind of like I need to do this content because it was just going to stress me out. If I don't get the right video or the right picture that I want to, or I plan. Oh, it's gonna just gonna stress me out, right? It's gonna make me disappointed and stuff. Mm. And I'm not gonna enjoy doing content. So I just feel like might as well, I'm living my life, be present. And I just feel like, you know, like a cup of coffee. Mm. It's just a cup of coffee for some people. But mm-hmm. for me, like I try to make it at least well.
Okay, I want to go back to your entrance scene. Usually, I'm imagining going back to the Knight Rider
yes.
music. You stroll in with your swagger, with a cup of coffee and like a bag of like delicious bakery goods. I don't know, like a cookie or like a muffin or I don't know. That's how I imagine you, Felicia. And that's Felicia, my friend, like that. Everywhere you walk.
Everywhere I go with a box of cakes, guys. Just to give to random strangers. Here you go, okay. Have a nice day.
Talk about life in Tokyo though. Like how is it going now? How do you feel?
To be honest with you, maybe because I live in Japan before, even if I live in Kyoto, I used to travel to Tokyo a lot for business trips. Yeah. So it's not like I don't know Tokyo.
But don't you think it's a little bit different living here?
It's a bit different in the sense that I don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, I have to do a lot of things before I leave. Just like that. Mm-hmm. And it's really, I mean, I just, it was easy for me to adapt back to this life.
Okay.
Because again, I speak the language.
Okay.
I know how to get around. I know where to go and stuff because I lived here before, right?
Mm.
So it doesn't feel like a big change. I'm more feeling like it's not my environment that changed. I'm more like myself changed.
Changes, okay.
Like,
I've never lived in Kyoto. I've always just visited, you know? Mm. So. Is it really the pace of life that different? Like the speed?
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah. They're a bit more relaxed. And, and obviously Tokyo is a big city.
Mm-hmm.
And a bit more relaxed, smaller obviously, and then less things to do. I think it's a good place to kind of like have a family or retire.
Settle down, yeah.
But not like when you're young and then you still want some kind of like stimulants or like opportunities to grow yourself. I think Tokyo will be better.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that's what I hit when I was living in Kyoto, because I couldn't, because Kyoto was so small, right? And I wanted more, but it couldn't give me what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So maybe I was in the States like, oh, I couldn't. I mean, of course, there was an option.
What about Osaka?
I don't really like Osaka.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Sorry, Osaka people.
No, I love Osaka. Don't get me wrong. Kansai is my heart.
Okay.
So don't get me wrong.
Was it, it just didn't match you or?
I just feel like it. Again, it's cities with tall buildings. Obviously, it's like a small Tokyo.
Yeah.
But I think the community, the people, I think. Tokyo, I think, have more diverse. And then...
It's easy to just join one specific community in Tokyo and just stick with that community for the rest of your life, really. It really is. Personally, I can't do that. I like to jump around.
Me too.
Yeah.
We're social butterflies.
Yeah. Well, fire, air, I guess.
I guess, yeah. But like, do you actually realize yourself? I'm more like extroverted introvert. You know that? Like, you do like to hang out with people, but you also like to spend time alone with yourself.
Maybe we're the same like that, actually. Well, there are things that I want to keep private in my private life.
Yeah.
And there are things that I'm cool to share.
No, I mean like getting out and social.
Yeah, I mean I've always been, well, I was a shy kid when I was a young kid, but since junior high and being a musician and performing live in concert helped it out a lot. Mm. I was a singer. I was a front man.
Yeah. You
so
did say.
It gave me a lot of confidence in myself as a, you know, 17, 18 year old, but like. But these days, it's more like, I guess when I want to be alone, I'll be alone, but I like to be alone outside. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I have my, depends on my mood.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, like, and it just fits me. Like, I love... I don't know if you're at this point now in life in Japan, but what I love about being in Tokyo is that I can go anywhere by myself.
Yeah, that too.
And just blend.
blend in, and then no one gives a shit.
No one gives a shit?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I just, like, I would never get that in Indonesia.
Yeah.
Because even though that, sure, I can just, like, get on my car, drive somewhere, go to the mall, no, go to movies alone, but, like, I would never be able to spend outside as long as I could in Tokyo.
Yeah. Like, for example, yesterday I was watching the Women's World Cup at just a local sports bar. Mm. Don't know anyone. Mm. Don't care.
There's a lot of happening.
And then there's a lot of things happening. Yeah, and I was just like, okay. Walked in and just enjoyed myself watching a sports match, whatever. Yeah. And then I left. I said, nice to meet you, bartender. I'll see you next time.
You know? Yeah, yeah. I mean, definitely love that. And I mean, this is also what I talked with my friend as well, or people actually lately. Mm. I like the feeling of anonymous in this country because I don't look foreigner. I look Japanese, right? Or at least people can
some
tell, like
Asian descent.
Some Asian descent, but like
I would say half actually, like
maybe half. Yeah. Maybe because the way I dress or like the way I carry myself, I guess.
I hate the word though, half. I really don't like saying that. I prefer mixed.
It's okay, but like mixed or whatever. Yeah. I mean, doesn't. I mean, things don't really offend me anymore. Okay. To be honest with you.
Like, but I get that too.
Yeah, I get that too. So it's just like, you know, and Indonesian people will never know I'm Indonesian unless I speak the language. Japanese people will either think I'm mixed or I'm Japanese. Or like white people, or like Westerners, like when you look at them, you'll know immediately they're foreigners.
Yeah.
Obviously, they will not know me as a who, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, no one actually. Well, I mean, several people only up until this point actually guessed right that I'm from Indonesia. Mm-hmm. But that's also because they're thinking hard to it. So no one really gets like I'm from Indonesia, and I like it. Like I That's like good. the anonymity. Is that a word? Yeah, I really like that feeling.
Why are you asking me as if I'm your teacher?
Because you're an English teacher, and I'm not native. Okay. And then probably your listeners will be like, sometimes she probably blurts out some, like, you know, wrong words.
This will be part 4, the English lessons with Felicia.
Yes, sensei, please. Yeah, I just like that feeling of, like, no one knows about you. Mm-hmm. And then you can just, like, you know, be out there, blend in, and then do your thing, and then no one gives a shit. So yeah. I like that.
Yeah, it's something, and like you mentioned earlier, there are things that I really, really don't like about living in Japan.
Yeah.
And but I don't get too stressed out over those things because you know, I mean,
it is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah. Exactly. People do complain, and I would be very worried if you don't complain if you're a foreigner resident in Japan, because there are differences. But like, I would imagine what you're doing now and then trying to achieve your goals, what you wanted to do. I think you're in the right step, and I really believe, Felicia, that whatever you're doing, it's going to go a long way.
Yeah,
it really is going
to
go a long way.
At least I try to aim that.
Right.
I'm aiming for the long term.
The top five of the bottom, as of top five of the bottom, you are going to be, because I know that you have the edge, and you have the, how do I say, the acumen to be part of this, you know, whatever community that you want to be in Tokyo or in Japan. And I think you can go places. I think, your story is very interesting and fascinating.
Yeah.
And I think people are going to be very intrigued with your story. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Well, I mean, that's what I'm trying to aim, though.
Yeah.
To be honest. And last week, I actually, I got a work project, this client. Hmm. And she said something that just kind of like proves to me that I'm on the right path. So what she said is that the reason why she chose me is because she can feel that in my content. Mm. It's purely because of things that I like.
Mm-hmm.
So even though that I'm doing PR for certain things, it doesn't feel like it's like commercials. Mm. It's more like it's because I like it. Mm. Which is true, because that's what I'm trying to aim, you know? Like, I mean, I even told the agents that I'm acquainted with, like, I mean, obviously, of course, you know, like everyone else, of course you want to earn some kind of money from Instagram and stuff, right? But at the same time, like, I don't want it to just be any brand because it's going to stay with me long term.
Sure.
So if it doesn't relate with me, I don't think I will accept it.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, like, I mean, I can say this because, you know, but what if they come to me and they say that we're going to pay you 1 million yen, Felicia, for this? And then probably I'll be like swayed a little bit being a human. Disclaimer to that. But yeah. It's just like, I wanted to try to be like, that it has to be something that I can relate with because mm-hmm. I don't want to, rather than telling a lie, I'd rather not say anything, if that makes sense.
Or I can see you, I don't see you as a person to be bought and sold. You're not merchandise.
Exactly. So, and then things that I do, I mean, it's gonna, again, it's gonna stay with me until I die.
Yeah.
So, yeah, even nowadays, if you don't want to be, I know that some people demonize social media a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Japan though, but like, I mean, of course, in Japan, even like you can't post anything that has like children face. If you have like children face in your video, right? So you have to like take it down and stuff, which I really respect though, because no one wants to be.
No one wants to.
And then you're in control in what you share on social media. So when people say that, oh, social media, this and that, like demonizing it, I'm like, you're in control.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in social media if you don't want to. And you control what you post anyway.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. This is a great place to end, to be honest. I think this is a great lesson.
Uh-huh.
I think the fact of being in control and what you're doing. I believe in that. In good conscience, I believe in that. I think, man, I'm gonna go back to it. Part of me going back to my punk rock roots, that was the point.
Yeah,
being in control, like in the underground community, I don't want to be bought and sold. Being in control.
Yeah.
So it goes way beyond before social media. Like so, what you're saying? Yeah, own it. Own it.
It. And then even though the situation is bad, it's up to you. It's up to you. Like, more like, I know that instinctively, I guess, being human, your first response to something bad is like to run away or like to, you know, refuse it or reject it. And then you become bitter about it. But then you don't have, you can't change it, you know. I think it comes from like, because I'm from a third world country, so, you know, being the bottom kind of like helps you see the bigger picture from the bottom, you know what I mean?
Thank you. So, thank you for saying that, actually.
Yeah, and it's like, let's say that foreigners living in Japan, they have all these rules. I was like, hey, we live in their country, it is what it is, you know? Like, I know like some people, maybe they come from a country where it's freedom and everything and that and stuff, and they're used to those kind of things. I think it's just, it takes like an extra effort where you just have to pay attention and then understand how things work in other countries, because it's not your country. You just have to, it is what it is in this country. And if you want to live here, follow them. Even though that you don't, you know, I mean, it's not like I'm saying I agree with every Japanese method in Japan. Like, for example, fax machines or like, you know, all of those like old school things that make things complicated. For example, when I was like, move here, you need to find an apartment. But in order for you to get an apartment, you need to have a bank account. But you need to make a bank account, you need a phone number. And if you want to make a phone number, you need a bank account. How does that work? You know, so that's the thing that kind of like sometimes frustrates me. Like, it's so easy. Why can't you be flexible? That is maybe my only complaint. But other than that, it's like, just because things can be more efficient, right? But other than that, it's just like how you see it. If you don't like something, you have a choice whether you want to go for it or not.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you, Felicia. You are an amazing guest. Stay tuned, everyone. This is going to be finally a 30-day series episode. This is just only part one. And Felicia, we'll take a break, and next tomorrow we'll come back and do part two. Oh, man. But Felicia, thank you so much.
Thank you, Meljo. Okay. Finally, it's nice to finally see you in person.
I know. And I'm glad that you're really doing well. So,
thank you.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
You can check out all of Felicia's content about her life in Japan on her Instagram page at IamFeliciaG. That's all one word. I'd like to say one more big thanks to Felicia for coming out and meeting me finally in person. It was a blast, and I'm pretty sure we're going to have many more chances to hang out. Also, I'd like to thank Miho, Michi, and the rest of the gang at Nakameguro Taproom for continuing to put up with me. And if you haven't had a chance yet, go check out the Nakameguro Taproom. Their Instagram is @Nakameguro_tap. You are listening to Made in Japan, Conversations with Meljo Catalan. For contact information, you can email me at japanmademepodcast@gmail.com, as well as hit me up on my Instagram or Facebook at Made in Japan Podcast. Thank you for listening. I hope you guys had a great time, and hopefully check me out next time with another guest. Till then, peace out.